Monday morning broadcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. I do remind you that our friends at ArtScroll.com and Rabbi Gedalia Zlotowitz is going to join us tomorrow because there's a lot to talk about pre-Chanukah. Chanukah begins Sunday night, folks. No joke. And there's a massive Chanukah sale going on right now at ArtScroll.com. And I do remind you that you get a massive discount plus free shipping on any amount when you use promo code radio. So follow the rule that I have been preaching for a long, long time. And that rule is always use promo code radio when you visit ArtScroll.com. The brand new book from ArtScroll is called Reaching Higher, Stories That Uplift Your Heart and Soul. It is an honor to welcome Rabbi Binyamin Przanski to this program to discuss this brand new work, one of many that he has available at ArtScroll.com. Rabbi Przanski, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you, Malcolm. Great to be here. What an honor.
I appreciate that. You have an unusual introduction to the book, by the way, because not often do we get stories in what's supposed to be the preface or intro to the book, and you went out of your way to include some interesting stories. I was wondering if you'd help me at the beginning of this conversation touch on some of the things that that you mentioned at the very beginning of the book. The first is, why is the book entitled Reach Higher? And if I have this correct, and what an observation it is on your part, if I have this correct, there are so many ways these days for people, especially young people, to feel fulfilled, to feel fulfilled physically, to get a high, and I use that in a very, very general term, to be chilled, as you write in the book. But it is amazing that if you do want to reach higher than that, if you want to replace the artificial with the real, then one must try to reach higher with Torah and its values. I thought it's an amazing observation. Tell me what else you could tell me about the title of the book.
You got right at it, Nahum. Yeah, the truth is that we live in challenging times on the one hand, and amazing times on the other. And there's so much out there in our spiritual realm. People are growing. People are climbing to new heights. It's amazing to see. Yet we find that there are so many of our youth that are losing their way. And for me, it's very bothersome. You know, how come they're not getting excited about learning Torah, davening, doing chesed? Why are we losing anyone? And I've found that so many, you know, times they're looking for a high in other places.
Right.
And
and you just wish that they would look for that high in our own tradition and heritage because we have a lot to offer.
That's right. We have so much to offer. And if they would open their hearts, they'd listen to your radio show, they'd be inspired. You know, they'd climb so much higher that way. And so when I went about writing this book, and the title even, about reaching higher, it was in connection to some of these thoughts about I met a kid who I was learning with one night in a night Seder program. And then he tells me, Rabbi, I love to get high. And I was like, well, what's going on? I'm just learning Torah with you. We're supposed to feel the high, the spiritual high. And he's talking about some other type of highs. And that's when I realized that we got to get our youth to feel that high and reach higher in their own spiritual lives.
Yeah. Many of them are just craving it, and they just need to be, I don't know, either presented with it or told that it's fine for them to pursue it. You know, it's just the whole it's so close. It's so close to them, but sometimes it just seems so far away, right? Binyamin Przanski is with us. The book is called Reaching Higher. Amazing stories in it. And I always joke, and I don't know if you know this routine of mine, but when I speak to somebody on the air who's had the life of Riley, I speak to somebody on the air who comes from a wealthy family and, you know, and did not have tradition and heritage in their lives, and then they turn to religious Judaism. They turn to what we've been enjoying our entire lives. And I'll jokingly, in quotation marks, say to them, you know, why would you give up all that to do this? You know, like, and we don't realize sometimes as we live this amazing existence, we don't realize just how special it is and how incredible it is. And I think that that's a point that we need to keep in mind when speaking to the young people out there. What we have is what they want. They may not realize that they want it yet. They may not understand how valuable it will be to them once they discover it. But what we have is really the ultimate high for them.
That's right. I think they all know it deep down. Sometimes we get a little confused.
Yeah.
But that's the truth, what they're seeking, but they might not know it at the time.
Yeah. Can you explain to me why... Explain to me, we made such a big deal about this, and for good reason. When Rabbi Twersky passed away, he insisted that the song that he wrote, Be Hoshiyah Samecha, which of course I think every Jewish kid and adult knows, be sung in his memory. Why? Give me your evaluation of why, with all his accomplishments, that was the one thing he wanted to make sure remained as a legacy.
Yeah, I was amazed when I heard about this story, and that's why I included it in the preface of the book, that he wanted this song to be sang at a levaya of all times. And I think Rabbi Twersky was a man who gave people hope. He always gave people that feeling that you're not lost, you're not out, don't give up. And he wanted people to keep on going with that message. And so when I believe, at least, when he passed away, he wanted people to keep on going. Yes, I may have passed on, but life continues, emunah continues. Don't give up. Sing the song of hope. Hashia Samecho, Verchas Nachal Esecho. Hashem's never going to let go of us. And so what an amazing scene unfolded at his levaya, as he sang the song and accompanied him to his grave.
And even in the aftermath, the way people made the song go viral, the way places like ours and others would play it for weeks afterwards, it was really an incredible memorial for him. And by the way, it's no secret that to the outsider, someone like myself, he seemed like a real academic, seemed like a very serious person. We're talking about an author here, and you know what it's like to be an author. Somebody who spent a lot of time, no doubt, on the scholarship of his work, and yet he had this part of him that was so connected because of the song, and I'm sure other nigunim, so connected to the one above and so connected to our tradition. I think it's really important to remember that all of us have many components to us, and sometimes we don't realize which components are more important than others.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Pretty amazing. All right, now you divide the book into sections, reaching higher in the following areas: emuna, hashkacha pratis, chesed, simcha, prayer, avos Yisrael, bitachon, and thanking Hashem. Do you agree with me, Rabbi Pruzansky, that there's at least a story or two in this book that could go into all eight categories? Am I right about that or not?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Every day, my friends, we are writing our stories. There's so many stories happening, and that's part of life. It fits in so many different areas in our lives. If we open our eyes, they're happening, the stories, and where do we place them?
Yeah. It's funny, the other day, and this has happened to me a lot in the last couple of weeks, I don't tend to be delayed. Radio people in general, know the clock and tend to be on time or early, right? That's our nature. I certainly believe, having done this for so many decades. And there are a couple of times over the last few weeks I've been delayed and got to appointments up to an hour late, which is, again, unlikely. And I look above and I say, why am I supposed to be late? Why am I supposed to, what was it that created this, lateness that God wanted me to experience something? And I, of course, looked at the story in your book about the, and again, it's so hard, as I said to you off the air, now all these stories are all in my mind. I can't remember exactly what was what, but tell the audience the story, please, of the gentleman, the rabbi, that had to travel to go see somebody after Yom Kippur, and he ended up going to Herzliya instead of Ranana. Was that what Waze did to him?
He went the wrong way, but he ended up in the right way.
Right. And he's also questioning, why did God send me to a completely different city, and decided not to turn back and go to his original destination, but because he was already led halfway up there, he's going to continue and see what awaits him there, right? That's a correct portrayal?
That's right.
He gets there and ends up with being given gift cards that, as he goes back to the original destination he was supposed to get to, he ends up distributing to people in tremendous need before Yontif, who would not be able to afford their grocery bills. So he, of course, understood. That's why I say that Emuna, Hashgacha Pratis, and so many other categories can go into one story of yours.
That's right.
Because, you know, all this is so intertwined. But I admire him. I admire him for actually, you know, carrying out to see what awaited him up there. Said to the person who answered the door, "I must see the Bala bus." What do you mean you must see the Bala bus? You weren't supposed to be here. What do you mean? How do you say that you have to see the owner of the house? But sure enough, we saw what happened.
Yeah, this is really a lesson of the Baal Shem Tov.
Yeah.
The Baal Shem Tov taught his students, and it's something that we take into our own lives, that there's no such thing as a mistake. If you ended up somewhere, somehow, Hashem wanted you to be there, and there's some sort of mission that you're supposed to take on. There's some message or lesson, and if you open your eyes, you might see that you're able to accomplish something that you never even realized that you were going to be able to do. You never even thought of it until you actually got there and you realized, hey, this is Hashgacha Pratis.
What about the story you have, and you know me, being pragmatic, I sometimes have difficulty with decisions that some people make in difficult situations. But what about the story you have about the person who decided that davening Maariv with a minyan, no matter how late they would be for their plane in the middle of a snowstorm, etc., was a priority? And of course, anybody who knows our family, shul and minyan is extremely important, so I'm not minimizing that at all. But they went ahead and took a risk to daven and then, you know, try to make the plane. They get to the airport. They find out that somebody was arguing with the airline official for a lengthy period of time about what they're allowed to bring on the plane, not bring on the plane. The plane got delayed. Sure enough, they made the plane. They made the wedding, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am not suggesting that I am recommending that people drive in a terrible snowstorm to get to a... Sometimes I wonder about those decisions. But you get my point that when someone... Oh, and by the way, you know what the kicker is of that story, of course?
Yeah, well...
That when the person says, "I've heard your shiurim,"
right,
and then the rabbi says, "Which shiur were you listening to?" And it was a shiur on the importance of davening with a minyan.
That's right.
I mean, come on, Rabbi Przanski. You got to explain that one. Come on. You know that didn't really happen. Come on.
There's a story about Reb Dovi Ben Shushan. Anyone who's heard Reb Dovi Ben Shushan knows he has some wild stories. And he's a man who inspires many in the Sephardic community and in the Ashkenaz community. And that particular story, he realized that, hey, I got to connect to God. I got to connect to Hashem if I want to have success on my trip. That's what it's really about. If I want to be successful, I want to make my plane, I want to make my business deal, I want to make a life work, then I got to be connected. And he plugged into Hashem that night by davening and trying to make that minion. Of course, we're not suggesting that you do anything crazy to make a minion. But when you're connected, you're dealing with a higher power, so you're able to do things that are sometimes incredible.
Unbelievable. Whole story is incredible. All right, Benjamin Przanski is with us. The book is called Reaching Higher. Why is it so, look, you devote a chapter to it. Why is it so important to thank God? We know about recognizing Hashgacha Pratis. We also, when we talk about on this show a lot, we talk about Bitachon, Shar Bitachon, you know, saying to the one above that I am in your hands, you are going to guide me properly. I mean, that's such an important attitude when growing up, and an important attitude when raising a Jewish family, of course. We all believe that. But you spend a chapter on just thanking God. How important is that gratitude? In fact, if you want to give us a story about that, feel free.
Yeah, sure. Well, thanking Hashem is really what makes a Jew a Jew. The name Yehuda, right? We're Jew, yeah. Yehuda. Yehuda means Haidah, to thank Hashem. So that's what every Jew is really about. We wake up in the morning, we thank Hashem. We go to sleep at night, we thank Hashem. We eat throughout the day, we're thanking Hashem. We're constantly thanking Hashem. When you thank Hashem, you recognize that you're recognizing what you're here for. You're here to realize that Hashem is taking care of your life, and he's giving you every moment, and therefore, you're thanking him and connecting to him in a tremendous way. And that's why I think the Thank You Hashem movement took off, because everyone realizes that to live life and successfully and to feel fulfilled, you got to thank Hashem. You got to connect him in that special way. So I'll tell you an interesting story, actually. This big tzaddik, his name is Reb Eibush Eisen, and he was sitting in his apartment one night, and Matzah Shabbos, you know, we finish Shabbos, you make Havdalah, what do you do after? So many of us will go and take out the mail, get into other things. Reb Eibush Eisen, this great tzaddik, would start to sing and dance. Right after Havdalah, this Yerushalmi Yid would get up and start dancing throughout his apartment. Now, when he was passed away about a year ago, his children wondered about this minhag that he had, this tradition of dancing around the house every Matzah Shabbos. And and one of them found out what was the reason that he would do this. And he said like this, years ago he said like this, that when he first got married, he lived in a two-room apartment. And it was very tight with 10 children, you can imagine. When he moved to a three-bedroom apartment, he was so excited to that first Matzah Shabbos. He danced and thanked Hashem. He's in a big apartment. He danced on every tile in the apartment. And he just wanted to thank Hashem, not only for every breath, but for every tile in his new apartment. And the next Matzah Shabbos, he wanted to do the same thing. So he danced for 40 years. This man kept on dancing and thanking Hashem for everything good in his life. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. Imagine we cooperate, we read such a story, and now every month of Shabbos, I don't know if we're going to dance around our apartment, but in your heart, thank you, Hashem, for everything you give me in my life, everything in my life, in my family, in my apartment, my house, everything.
The people that know they have it all, no matter what they have, they are able to make it through life in a much, much better way, that's for sure. Right, Binyamin Przanski is with us. The book is called Reaching Higher. Go to artscroll.com. Make sure to use promo code radio. Again, go to artscroll.com. Always use promo code radio. The book is called Reaching Higher. All right, we can't go through every story, but can you explain how a family with 8 children who knew they might be homeless within hours never gave up hope, and how we should incorporate that type of faith into our own lives?
Yeah, that particular family was forced to move out of their home, and you could imagine that's a very difficult uprooting for any type of family. They tapped into their Rebbe, who happened to be Rabbi Yisrael Brog, a fountain of Emunah. The husband was speaking to him, and he said, "Listen, you got to have faith. Hashem's going to find you the house. You're not going to be homeless. There's no way you're not going to find the place. And if you tap into Hashem, and you really have full emunah, and you realize that he's the one who decides what job you get, he's the one who decides what house you get, then you're not going to worry." And as hard as this was for them, because sometimes we talk about emunah, but it's not real. It's not real. It's not ingrained in us. And what we have to do is realize, yes, to pay the bills, you need emunah. You need money in the bank account, but you need emunah to realize that it's really from Hashem. And if Hashem wants to send you the money, he'll send you the money. And if he wants to send you the home, he'll send you the home. And once they tapped into that realization, they were able to soon find the home that they needed to find.
It's amazing, I'll tell you. We talk about davening for somebody else, and your tefillos are answered first. You have stories in this book where people do chesed for others with the faith that what they need is going to come true just because they've reached out to somebody else. What do these stories do to your emunah? We know what your stories do for us, and we know that when people, you know, give the musr, if you will, that you just gave us a moment ago about, you know, knowing who's in control and putting full faith in God. But when you write and collect and write these stories, do you feel your own emunah and belief in Ashgacha Pratis, etc., being strengthened?
Yeah, for sure. I feel a surge. I feel a tremendous feeling of chesed from above. When I find a story and I realize I'm meeting people who are just amazing. These are not the gedolim necessarily. These are regular people who do amazing things. And I say, hey, how come I'm not like that? I got to go out of my way. You know, I have a story in there about someone who was facing a surgery. He had I met a person in Lakewood, a Rebbe, and he told me his child, his daughter, had to have a surgery in Cincinnati. She needed a raw. And how is he? Right, so he had to get to Cincinnati, excuse me. So he goes to Cincinnati, and while he's there, he meets a Hasidish Yid. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Listen, my daughter also needed surgery. But I had no way to get to Cincinnati from Muncie. I went to Newark. There was a snowstorm. I couldn't go, so how am I going to get there?" So he put it on a chat. Can anyone give me a ride to Cincinnati? And Hasidus Shafelu answered and said, I'll drive you to Cincinnati. He drove him over 600 miles to Cincinnati. And this man wondered, like, how do you do such a thing for me? Is your wife behind you? Does she appreciate what you're doing? Until he saw a text, and he saw that the wife wrote him that she's so proud of the mitzvah that he did. Now, when you hear about a mitzvah, someone went 600 miles out of the way, how often do we go 1 mile out of our way, 10 miles, 100 miles? So when you see such a story, you say, hey, let me open my heart too and tap into this great thing called Chesed and Ahavas Yisrael.
Unbelievable. Just incredible. By the way, on the subject I brought up before, where, you know, sometimes I'll sit and say to somebody, why would you give up everything in order to pursue, you know, our tradition and heritage? I'm just going to give a little teaser. I don't know if you remember this or not, but page 164 of your book has the perfect story for what I just described, because I would ask Felipe, remember Felipe the soccer star? You remember him, right, Brzezinski?
Okay.
I would ask Felipe, why would you give up the fame and fortune of being a tremendous soccer star in order to become a member of the Jewish faith? And sure enough, he went ahead and did so, and was the recipient of great chesed, as you write in the book. But I'm giving out too much information. I need people to buy the book, read the stories, and to enjoy them and be inspired by them, frankly. Ladies and gentlemen, can't recommend it enough. It is Reaching Higher, Stories That Uplift Your Heart and Soul, right? Benjamin Przanski, who's responsible for God knows how many books at artscroll.com. If you look at the back of this book cover, you could get an idea. Is the author of the book Reaching Higher. We're strongly recommending it. Always use promo code radio when ordering this or any other book at artscroll.com, and enjoy a book that will enhance your emuna, your faith, your attitude toward Hashgacha Pratis, your attitude toward Chesed, Avos Yisrael, being there for somebody else, even your attitude towards Simcha. Every one of these categories will be enhanced by the stories in this book. Rabbi Przanski, anything else you'd like to add before we wish you a happy Chanukah?
Yeah, we have to keep reaching higher in our own lives. Let's look every day, my friends, for an opportunity to reach just a little bit higher. It's not how much you reach, just go a little above what you used to. You'll see your life is enhanced, your life will change. You read the book, Be'ez Hashem, give you the blessing that in your life, Hashem should always be there for you, helping you climb the ladder of life, and never stop reaching higher, my friends. Thank you for having me.
100%. It's wonderful to have you. And I just want to add to that and transmit this message to our children and grandchildren, because sometimes all they really want to know is that there is a ladder that they could start climbing and get a little bit higher on appropriate things. So
That's right. Make sure they read the book, too.
100%. I'm endorsing it, as you know. I take this opportunity to wish you a Mazel Tov on the book and wish you a happy Chanukah. And thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Malcolm. Have a happy Hanukkah.
Rabbi Benjamin Przanski, everybody, Reaching Higher. You're going to love this one. Story after story. Lots of great material. And this is America's one and only Jewish Moments in the Morning radio program, heard on listeners-sponsored digital radio. Around the world, the web at NahumSegal.com and the NahumSegal Network, and, of course, on the beloved NSN app.